good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. Thursday edition of the podcast. Allies of the pod know what this means. But if you are new here, it means Ben and I are going to go through this week's upcoming slate of NFL games, give you a preview of every single matchup, and then pick a winner against the spread, get a little bit of a betting feel to it. And what we do is we keep score, and then at the end of the year, whoever has the best record picking against the spread, we crown them champion. I am the current champion. I was also leading Ben for the majority of this year.
Past tense, baby.
Oh, baby. Ben got two on me this weekend, which means that we are dead even on the year. 6 weeks in, almost halfway through, and we are dead even. I went out to a commanding lead, I think, and Ben has chipped away. You've slowly taken a couple games here and there on me. And yeah, we got a lot of games to get to that we're picking today, but before we get there, we got to remind everybody of a message from our friends over at Pepsi. They're telling us that this football season is going to be different. They're right. And Pepsi is here to get us ready for game day, no matter how we watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment that we need to power us through game day, no matter what our game day experience is, and become members of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It is made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Ben, how do you feel now being tied with me? How do you feel? I could hear the excitement in your voice knowing that we are all evened up now after a very divisive week last week for our picks.
So I'll be honest with you. There's a exchange. There's a balance in the universe. I'm tied with you. Mm-hmm. And then in the Bleeding Green Nation straight up picks, I've lost my lead for the first time all year to BLG. Friend of the show, Brandon Lee Gowan, which we're all behind the community. The community usually beats us. But last year I took second after leading for most of the year, and I just lost my lead this year to BLG.
What is Michael? Is Mike terrible?
Oh, Mike doesn't pick.
What?
No, Mike doesn't pick.
Why not?
Mike technically works for like big SB Nation.
Yes, so
he does podcasts for everybody. Well, I'm just saying.
You have an Eagles podcast called the Kissed and Solak Show.
Yeah, well, that was what we first had, and then he left me for big national energy. But anyway,
unbelievable. He's a coward.
He
you can tell
coward.
Him I said that. You can clip this. You can put it on the timeline if you want. Mike doesn't pick the games, so he's a coward.
Oh yeah, I'd be happy to cause some mess. I think he picks on his new show with his new friends, not me. But anyway,
okay. Well, maybe he picks the games. But until I actually hear that he picks the games, then I'm just gonna keep thinking he's a coward.
Yeah. So I can apparently only be leading, or at least tied in one at a time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, fancy that it turns out to be this way. But the first game that we're talking about is your Philadelphia Eagles, because that is the Thursday night football matchup this week. The Eagles are hosting the New York Giants, a battle of one-win teams. My God, you couldn't pay me enough money to actually watch and care about this game. Ben, you actually do, because people are paying you money to watch and care about this game. Eagles at home. A one-win Eagles team. Favored by 6.5. Is this the most? I know there's no way that you could know this off the cuff. But, like, this has got to be by far the most points a one-win team more than 5 weeks into the season has right. ever been favored in NFL history.
It's healthy. I mean, so Eagles open at 6.5. They're currently at 4.5 is the line that I have.
We're betting on 4.5. You're right. It opened at 6.5.
It opened at 6.5. I'll be honest with you. I'll be very frank. I will put this out here into the universe. Okay. You ready?
All right.
Here it comes. Brace yourself.
Yeah.
I really don't think this is going to be that bad of a game. If you like points, I think we're going to get points. The total for this game is currently 45, fairly low. I think we're going to get a lot more action, at least, than that. I'm not sure I would take the over, just because both these teams are so volatile that I'm not sure how much I trust them. But the Giants passing game has been totally anemic. The Eagles are the best secondary to get that woken up against. all they do is throw curls to Evan Engram. Well, guess what? The Eagles are the only team in the league that can't cover a curl from a tight end anyway, so that's going to work great. The Eagles potentially getting DeSean Jackson back. Their passing game has really woken up the last 2 weeks. The Eagles just had two high 20-point outings against the first and second defenses in DVOA in Baltimore and in Pittsburgh. So I think that the Eagles are going to put up points. I think the Giants are going to throw the ball a fair bit, and they're going to be able to put up points there accordingly. The Eagles' pass rush is going to cause some problems. You're going to get some bad Daniel Jones plays, but those are always fun to watch. I do like the Eagles at 4.5. I didn't touch this line when it opened. I like that it's moving down. I probably won't take it, but if this moves to 4, 3.5, then I might look at taking the Eagles. The Eagles are coming off of two strong offensive performances.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants offense is not enough to challenge this defense, you know, for four quarters. They're going to put points on them, but not for four quarters. And the Eagles have a real reason to win this game. The Giants obviously do too as well. But the Eagles obviously have a lot more momentum coming into the game, even coming off of two losses. So I do like the Eagles to cover 4.5.
4.5. This was 6.5. I'd feel a lot better about it. But it's too weird. Thursday Night Football, it's too weird for me. Divisional matchup, those can be close anyways. Then throw in the fact that it's happening on Thursday night. Weird stuff happens on Thursday Night Football. I'll take the Giants getting 4.5. So you are taking the Eagles, and I'm taking the Giants, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. A little division here to start off. By the way, I can't remember if I mentioned this in the Monday pod. I don't know why I said it like that.
In the Monday pod.
But this is the most one-win teams through 6 weeks in the NFL in NFL history. We got 10.
That's fun.
We've got 10 one-win teams right now. And the only other time this has happened in NFL history was in 1982, and that was the year that there was a labor strike, so weeks 3 through week 10 didn't even get played. So that's the only time there have ever been this many one-win teams in NFL history. So yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I looked that stat up myself. Contributing, baby. Research.
Looked it up myself. I'm putting analytics somewhere in my bio because of that.
Trevor, that doesn't have anything to do with analytics.
I said what I said.
You eating calzones with the owners. Shout out Mike Florio.
Wait,
did you not watch this video?
Is there a story there? No, I have not seen this.
Oh my goodness. There's a video going
eating
around of
calzones?
Mike Florio and Chris Sims
okay.
are talking for NBC Sports about Romeo Crennel's decision to go for 2, up 7. And it kind of devolves into just a general bashing on analytics and how it all works in the league thing. And Mike Florio empathizes with those coaches who are likely, you know, cut at the knees by these analytics staffers, these, as he calls them, 25-year-old kids from Harvard Business School with whom the owners are infatuated. And then he says, they're going out with him to Finuccio's getting calzones. He contrives this hypothetical Italian lunch meal between the owner and the 25-year-old Harvard Business School analytics boy, and how the owner just loves listening to him. And that's why coaches can't get to do what they know to be right anymore. And it's just dude, this isn't real, man. This is a dream you had. This is not how life is. So yeah, analytics guys eat calzones with the owners.
Listen, hypothetical Italian meals is something that ruins my diet all the time.
About to say hypothetical Italian meal, no pounds, baby.
Yeah, but then when you think about hypothetical Italian meals too long,
you know what comes next?
Actual Italian meals,
real Italian, meals.
Right? Real Italian.
I had pasta last night, so I'm immune right now. But I feel this.
I had chicken with mozzarella in the middle, baked and wrapped in prosciutto this evening. So I'm all about that Italian life.
Prosciutto.
Green Bay Packers at the Houston Texans. Packers still licking their wounds after getting their asses handed to them by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but still obviously a very good team. Very strong up until that point in the season. It was one game. Aaron Rodgers was still on an MVP clip before that. So you figure they're going to have a bounce back game here against the Texans, but Texans, ever since they got rid of Bill O'Brien, they're spunky. They lost in overtime to the Houston Texans, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the Watchers of Wednesday podcast, that if Zach Cunningham would have been in his run fits like two extra times in that game, they're probably going to win. So they probably could have taken down the undefeated Titans. Now they're going up against the Packers. They're at home. Packers on the road once again, but the Packers right now are favored by 3.5. What do we think about this, Ben?
Yeah, I like the Packers here, and I liked the Packers against Tampa Bay. You did as well.
Yep.
If there's anything better than, you know, Rodgers in a nationally televised spot, small favorite, it's probably Rodgers coming off of a loss. He's historically been really, really good coming off of losses, especially against the spread. The Texans got the Romeo Crennel bump in the game against the Jaguars. They had it for the majority of the game against the Titans, and then they lost that game. And I think that kind of sobers you up from that initial high of moving on from Bill O'Brien and kind of resetting the counter, as it were. Tampa Bay was really able to stymie Aaron Rodgers. Ton of secondary talent, ton of moving pieces, ton of blitzes. Texans do not have that personnel and do not play well in the back end at all, giving up a ton of passing yardage. I really like the over in this game. Opened at 55.5. It's now at 57 in most places. I would still take it, probably up to 58. So over is what I bought here. But on the spread, I'll take Packers at 3.5.
I'm taking the Packers as well. I'm with you. Aaron Rodgers was playing too well before that Tampa Bay game. And honestly, I don't think the Packers have the cornerbacks to really give the Packers fits the way that the Bucs cornerbacks did. And I also am not so sure that the Texans can dial up the pressure in the manner that the Bucs did. And I think that those were the two parts of the recipe that mattered the most when it came to really frustrating what Green Bay was doing on offense. And we got to remember this too. Two drives into the game, Packers had two scoring drives. They had 10 points after their first true drives, touchdown and field goal. So it's like, Tampa Bay really clamped down, and honestly, the pick six shook the Green Bay Packers, and it really gave a lot of momentum back to the Buccaneers. I just don't see the Texans where I like their offense. Like, I think that Deshaun Watson's going to be able to put up a decent amount of points. I think the Packers are going to still clear that 3.5 line because I just don't feel like the Texans can slow them down enough. I think this is another 30-point, borderline 40-point game here for the Green Bay Packers on offense. I think the Texans can get high 20s, maybe low 30s, but I just think that Green Bay is going to pass them by too much. And so I'm going with the Packers here as well. Cowboys, Washington football team. Oh my goodness, is this really the line? You got to be kidding me.
Big swing, baby.
You got to be kidding me.
This is exactly what happened with the Cardinals game.
The Cowboys opened this line favored by 3, which I looked at initially and I went, they're really only favored by 3 over the Washington football team?
Like, remember, this is in Washington.
Washington's terrible. It is in Washington. You're right. Divisional game as well.
Uh-huh.
And now the line has swung to favor the home Washington football team by a point. This is essentially a pick'em game. How far have the Cowboys fallen?
Well, they're currently 1-point dogs against the Washington football team, so that bad.
Oh, my goodness. How did we get here?
So Dak got injured. Lane Van Der Esch went down. Oh, Tyron Smith went down. Lyle Collins went down. Zach Martin went down. Who is their center? Joe Looney went down. Trevon Diggs is their starting corner.
Not great.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how that went. Non-chronologically.
All right. Well, okay. Washington. Is Washington going to overcome the 1 point that they are favored by in this game?
Am I understanding this correctly that you are on Dallas?
You have not understood anything correctly, my good friend.
Well, you thought Dallas should be favored by more than 3, and they're currently 1-point dogs. So I'm guessing you're taking Dallas.
It's just odd for me to see this line the way that it is because Washington is quarterbacked by Kyle Allen, and I don't think this roster or team is very good. So it's very odd to me to see a Cowboys team that, I guess looking at it, I thought at this point in the year would be a lot better, and certainly injuries and all that that you named are the reasons why they're not. It was just shocking to me to see that.
Right.
Who do I want in this game? Do I want Andy Dalton getting a point? Yeah, I'm going Cowboys. Yeah, I'll go Cowboys here.
Yeah, I got Washington at plus two here. So CLV on this line's been really nice. And I think it's still at minus one. I'd be willing to take Washington. This defensive line against what the Cowboys are going to be playing an offensive line is a scary situation. Even with injury to Chase Young potentially being, he was limited, I think, on Wednesday, so he's likely to play. But if he's less than 100% still, they're going to be able to cause a lot of problems. Washington's actually been having...
I just want to point out that you said that about Dalvin Cook last week because we recorded the show on Wednesday, and then he was ruled out like 12 hours later, and I
Yeah, I know,
laughed.
Which was extremely disappointing.
I laughed out loud because of how confident you were that Dalvin was going to play.
Yeah, Dalvin's playing, it's no problem. And then Minnesota went down like 28-3 against Atlanta. I was like, all right, good talk. For sure. Yeah, so Young... hopefully playing, maybe less than 100%. Mm. That's going to be a big problem. Washington's actually gotten like kind of good corner play by Fuller and Darby so far this year. So obviously the wide receivers, what you fear against Dallas, I think they should be able to keep their head above water. They do have wide receiver injuries themselves, Washington football team, Isaiah Wright and Antonio Gandy-Golden. So they signed Robert Foster this week. But Dallas has nobody to handle Terry McLaurin. So they're going to be able to move the ball through the air. Dallas, I think, is totally reeling. I think that they're struggling to get the ship right. I think Washington sees an opportunity for a home win, big divisional win after they were in a position to beat the Giants last week and just didn't get the two-point conversion. I think they come out a little bit stronger. Obviously, this team still thinks they can compete. That's the whole point behind Kyle Allen. So I like Washington to cover.
Well, I mean, if Zeke doesn't fumble the ball, which might be a tough ask at this point, seeing as how – does he lead the league in fumbles?
No.
For a running back,
yes.
He does? He leads it for a running back?
Yeah. Suboptimal.
Can't get away from
that. There's a theory that he needs to stop wearing sleeves.
Is that the theory? Is that like what
like
people
he wears like he wears like dry wick sleeves.
Yeah.
People are like, you're not getting the friction you need. Human skin, baby. Gotta get those follicles.
Oh, so he needs the wet wick sleeves. He's gotta switch it up.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah, at first I was like, what are you talking about?
No, because you said they're dry. So if dry people wick, are, you know, saying that he needs the moisture, the sweat on the ball,
right,
stick around. Doesn't make any sense. You know what? Somebody told me a weird fact when I was in high school, which I have never fact checked.
Okay, good.
I just like
encouraging.
Kind of believe, but it doesn't really make sense at all. People would tell me that Kobe, actually not, it's not people, it's literally one person, told me when I was in high school, probably a freshman, he was probably a senior, and I just believed every word he said.
Yo, I just want to know the fact, man.
That Kobe would wipe his hands on his jersey because his hands would get dry during the game. And his hands would like blister during the game. You know how like normally everybody's hands get sweaty when they do athletic things? They were saying like Kobe's hands got like dry, and so he would like wipe his hands on his chest to moisturize his hands during the game.
I looked this up, and all I got was a tweet from Jacoby at ESPN from 2015 that says, Kobe Bryant leads the league in wiping his hands on his shirt. And Jacoby only got 22 retweets on this thing, man. Like, come on.
Well,
you gotta be tweeting at a higher level.
The reason why he does it is because the man's trying to care about good skin.
Yeah, it's about moisturizing, man.
It's
come
moisturizing
on,
moisturizing out here. I have no idea what moisturizing has to do with rockauto.com, but that's my transition somehow.
I loved it. I liked it.
Listen, you know, they've got everything over there for your car. I know some people put moisturizer in their car, so perhaps they also have that on deck. You can figure it out because their catalog is super easy to go look at over at rockauto.com. Whether you're looking for some sort of fix or some sort of upgrade, no matter what make or model you are driving every single day, RockAuto.com has got you. Their customer service is also fantastic. So if you go check it out, RockAuto.com, you can see what they have in stock. And if they don't have exactly what you're looking for, you can give them a call. You can email them. You send them a little comment, a little comment box thing. They're going to be able to get you whatever you need, even if they can't provide it. They will get you pointed in the right direction because they're fantastic. They're a family-owned business. They're in the business of getting you back out on the road, saving you money at the same time. If you end up contacting them or buying something from them, just let them know that Locked On NFL Draft sent you. That would be great for Ben and I. They've got an awesome selection. Like I said before, super low prices. Basically everything that you'd ever going to need. Maybe even hand moisturizer. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. But I wouldn't put it past them over at rockauto.com. Detroit Lions. Atlanta Falcons. Another game. Couldn't pay me enough money to watch. You know, it's weird that I say that because it's like a common thing to say, but I'm actually paid to watch this. So,
right. It's a fun expression, but it does not apply here.
Right. Yeah. It's a fun expression, but it does not apply here. Falcons at home, favored by 2.5. It opened up at 2. Now it's a 2.5. So absolute disrespect throughout the week to the Detroit Lions. What do we think here, Ben?
Oh, disrespect to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, because it's going in the opposite direction, right? Yeah.
They opened as 2-point dogs. Now it's 2.5. I'm trying to get a feel on who you're going to bet on. This is really what I'm trying to grab here.
Is this another game where you could go either way?
This is a game where I'm taking the over.
No. Listen. We already set up who both of us are taking in this game many moons ago when we went on what must have been a 15-20 minute rant about who is better between Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan. So it would be, I feel like you and I are intertwined with any Detroit Lions Atlanta Falcons matchup.
All right.
For who we've got to bet.
Yeah, I have the Lions down. I honestly think the Lions win the game outright. But I'm very glad to take Atlanta just to lean into the point of Matt Ryan being better than Matt Stafford at this point in their careers. Obviously, both are leading some pretty dynamic passing offenses and have humongous defense problems that are leading them to throw the ball even more. So, yeah, I do like the over in this game. Not for nothing. 55.5, 56 is a pretty key number. So if you can get 55.5.
It feels like a lot. Jeez. It seems like a high over number.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's... The market's aggressively pricing some totals. They did so with Packers Texans, which is at 56, Lions Falcons, which is at 55. There's one other that's Cardinals Seahawks is also at 55, and it's meant to discourage you from going on the over. And yet, for all three of those games, I would lean the over. I'm not taking Seahawks Cardinals, but for Packers Texans and then for Lions Falcons, these aren't defenses. There's no defenses. They don't have them. They don't play them. They don't use them, especially Lions Falcons. They have neither one of these teams have been able to stop anybody from scoring this year, except for the Falcons that one time against the Vikings. You know what I mean? I think we go over, but I'll take the Falcons. Matt Ryan, baby. Good, better quarterback in the matchup. Calvin Ridley. Other players on the Falcons. Raheem Morris bump. I'm vibe with it.
No, I'm going with Matthew Stafford. Tampa great, Matthew Stafford. Got to represent here. And yeah, I've got to stay on the side of the Matt Ryan versus Matt Stafford debate. I think that we have to stay true here to this. This has got to be one that we disagree on for that reason. So I'm riding with Matt Stafford. You're riding with Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
2.5. 2.5 is the official line. Wanted to
and
make,
may
make sure that
this was. Game decide the debate for eternity unless the Lions win, which I think they're going
to
do anyway.
Wow, I was absolutely going to say that exact same thing. Buffalo Bills taking on the New York Jets. New York Jets coming off a game in which they scored zero. Adam Gase, the offensive genius at head coach for the New York Jets, scored 0 points.
Our
he
players
scored
just
zero.
Aren't executing, Trev.
He
they're
scored
not executing.
0 points.
If only they executed, we would have scored 5 points.
Against
but because they didn't execute.
Dolphins. Big ups, Dolphins. I'm not trying to take a shot at y'all, but he scored 0 points.
Players didn't execute.
Yeah, they didn't. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they executed what you wanted to do. Maybe they executed the game plan, as in took it out back and killed it because it sucked.
A little double entendre for you.
Yeah! New York Jets are 10-point dogs at home to the Buffalo Bills. No. Hold on.
They were 10-point dogs.
They were
10-point
dogs. Now, after having to hear Adam Gase speak again at the podium as head coach, Vegas went, good God, we can't do this here. So they changed it, and now the Bills are favored by 13.5. So Bills coming off a loss. Jets obviously coming off a loss. What do we think here, Ben? 13.5 points is enough for Buffalo to overcome it?
The really funny thing about this is that the line has juiced, right? 3.5 points to the Bills, and yet the total has gone down from 48 to 45, which is to say we think the Bills are going to win by this much. And also, not because they're going to score that many more points, but because there's no chance the Jets score anything, right? This is a complete indictment on the Jets offense. Now, Bills coming off two bad losses. Titans in the COVID game, Chiefs in the rain, right? And two games that were really supposed to be heat checks for this team. So how legit are you in the AFC? And they failed both tests. Now they get the Jets. Lest we forget, Bills have played the Jets this year. This is our first divisional, you know, game two. You know what I mean? Rematch. And so that game ended 27-17. Bills had control of that game all the way through. It was 21-3 at one point. And they kind of let the Jets get back into it, cover the spread back door in the second half. This week, given the fact that they need to get right, given the fact that you kind of really want to reset your confidence in your team, I think that the Bills are even able to cover 13.5. I would expect them to really manhandle the Jets. The Jets, obviously, in week one still had reason to believe that things might be okay. Now they're fully depressed. And so I'm confident in saying that the Bills are going to come out really, really strong. I'm still worried about a backdoor cover, but I do think that the Bills are able to maintain more than a 2-touchdown lead for most of this game and hopefully carry it all the way home. So Bills minus 13.5 for me.
Yeah, this is easy. And it's easy because
I bet on the Jets, I feel like, a couple weeks ago, and I'm just not doing that again.
I think I said this last week. I believe I said this last week. I'm not taking the Jets at all for the rest of the year until Adam Gase is gone. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
So they're currently 21.5 point underdogs to the Chiefs next week on the early lines.
Yeah, guess who I'm taking?
The Bills?
No, I'm not taking the Bills. No, I'm taking
the
no.
Chiefs, baby.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills this week. They're going to cover the 13.5. They're the more well-oiled machine, mainly because I think the Jets aren't even a machine. They're just a bunch of parts that are laying on the ground. Bills are going to want to snap back into shape and really make things happen against the Jets. So I know it's a divisional game. Anything could happen. I am throwing that out there. I acknowledge that, but I'm not picking the Jets. Just not doing it. Panthers, Saints. Ooh, speaking of divisional matchups, this is big. We get a lot of divisional matchups this week. Mm-hmm. Carolina traveling to New Orleans. Carolina coming off a loss to the Chicago Bears. New Orleans Saints coming off a bye. Saints at home. They're favored by 7.5.
Don't like this one. Avoid it bigly for me, especially with it sitting right around 7.5. I lean Panthers on 7.5. I think that it's appropriately priced. I got a lot of suspicion regarding the Saints offense, which I think is still fine, but it just isn't dynamic enough. They so many running back targets, still so many underneath targets, and without Michael Thomas, it's just so much harder to sustain those drives that they need to sustain. So there's reason for a lot of suspicion there. Meanwhile, Carolina, they come off the loss against Chicago. Chicago defense really gave them some trouble. That Chicago defense, one of the best defenses, in the NFL. The Saints present a tough challenge, but it's not the same. I do think that you're going to be able to throw the ball a little bit easier. Marshawn Lattimore hasn't been having as great of a season. Janoris Jenkins, obviously, a little bit long in the tooth. The big X factor here is Michael Thomas, who is a limited participant in Wednesday practice. He was not suspended, was actually fined, and it wasn't for the fight. It was for not listening to somebody about the fight. It's very confusing. Without knowing what Michael
Thomas
did. Wait,
so did or did he not pop Chauncey Garner-Johnson in the jaw for talking
smack? How much, dude, we talked about the UCF kicker. Michael Thomas versus Chauncey Garner-Johnson, I would want to hear that conversation. Oh, man.
Yeah, that'd be
that's
a lot
like,
of...
If you could choose one thing to be NFL mic'd up, I would have already burned mine this year. But like, yes, I would like the dialogue from injured Michael Thomas talking to fourth round second year player Chauncey Garner-Johnson, both of whom share only one thing, and it's unequivocally believing they are so much better than they actually are. Yes, I would like to hear that conversation. Thank you very much.
That would be some elite smack talk.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm on Panthers plus 7.5. That's the one I'll take here. But this is a scary one for me.
Man, Panthers have been playing everybody tough. I think I'm with you, though. I think I'm going with the Panthers in 7.5. 7.5 is a lot of points for a team that's played, you know, even in their losses, I feel like they've played it tight. And then obviously they've come out with some wins in places where people didn't really expect it. And so I think that for those reasons, to your point there, I've got to take the Panthers. The Saints just aren't the juggernaut that we thought they were. I still think they'll win enough games to make it to the playoffs, but it's not like they're just straight up running through folks. And I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend. I think the Panthers are going to keep it close. So yeah, give me the Panthers in 7.5. That's too much for
me. Here, the interesting thing about the Panthers is the only game they've lost this year by more than a touchdown was the Tampa Bay game where they gave up the Leonard Fournette touchdown run with during, you know, the 4 minute offense for the Bucks, right?
Yeah,
like
right,
that
right.
very easily could have ended 24-17 and yep. they would never have lost a game by more than a touchdown. So yep. I think they're worthy of faith. They're clearly gonna fight for all four quarters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Cleveland traveling to Cincinnati. They've already played once this year. They played on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Cleveland really took care of business in that game. What was that? But that was week two. That was week two for Burrow, correct? Or was it week three?
That was right.
I think it was
that
week two.
It was week three, and okay. it was the Thursday night game. That's my official answer. Now let's look it up and figure it out.
Oh, okay. I thought you were actually just laying the
it
facts.
It was week two, Dan.
Suck it.
Embarrassing.
Browns opened up as a 4-point favorite on the road. This one's in Cincinnati this time. Now they are only favored by three. So 1 point down. So they're a 3-point favorite here. Ben, what do we think about this rematch?
This Thursday night game, if you remember, 35-30, ton of points. Somebody on this podcast was heavily on the under. It doesn't matter who.
What
Joe Burrow?
Bring it up.
Joe Burrow attempted 61 passes.
Oh, yeah. That was the
game. Yeah. 3 touchdowns, 300 yards, no picks. Cleveland Browns coverage has not gotten better since then. Pass rush has gotten a little bit better, but obviously Cincinnati does a lot to try to neutralize that with their empty sets and with their quick game. This was a story of the Cleveland Browns offensive line absolutely dominating in the running game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt had crazy day against the Bengals in week two. Now, obviously, no Nick Chubb for the Browns. J.C. Treader is currently listed as questionable. Wyatt Teller as a week-to-week questionable probably isn't going to play. That Browns offensive line did struggle a fair bit against the Steelers. You don't have the same challenge with the Bengals. I think the Browns are able to cover three, but with the Bengals, who obviously they jumped out to the big lead against the Colts, they had their first win against the Jaguars. They've been showing the ability to make some games close, especially in a divisional game. I would not be surprised to see the Bengals come out and try to get a definitive win here. That passing game is reeling a little bit for the Browns, so it's a tricky spot. I like the Browns -3, but this could be a weird one.
I'll go different with you here because I think that this one is a pretty big toss-up. There were a lot of points, like you mentioned, in that first meeting. Thought the Browns handled their business. I don't think the Bengals were ever too much of a real threat, if my memory serves me correctly, but I think it's going to be a little bit different this time around. I think that you're right. The big factor for me here is that, man, the Browns just got absolutely shell-shocked last week, and they were able to bounce back from getting shell-shocked in week one to the Baltimore Ravens, and who did they face? Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals, so it was a get-right game for them, but I don't think the Bengals are going to be as easily handled this time around. So I think it's very close. With that being the case, give me the 3 points. Give me the field goal. I think that they'll keep it within three. If not, maybe surprise the Browns altogether. Steelers, Titans. This is a big matchup here. These are two undefeated teams. Titans at home, they are favored by one.
This is scary. This is going to be a really good game.
The game that I am by far the most excited about to watch.
And once again, I mean, obviously the over's been hitting a lot this year, but once again, you know, this opened at 52.5. It's dropped down to 50.5, 50 in some places. I think we get more points than that. I think the Titans are really going to be able to throw the ball on the Steelers. I think that the Steelers are going to do a lot to take away the running game, and then I think that Ryan Tannehill is really going to make them pay through the air. And the dynamic of the Steelers' zone blitzes versus the Titans' play-action, crossing pattern-heavy approach is really, really interesting. There is a very high potential for a lot of busted coverages for Pittsburgh, leading to some really explosive plays for the Titans. Obviously, the Titans are still a little bit thin at wide receiver, but they've shown that they can get it done with A.J. Brown, with Khalif Raymond, and then with their tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser. So that passing game, I think, will still stay very active. Meanwhile, the Titans are really struggling in the secondary. This is a talented group. Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, Kevin Byard. But they're like 30th right now in passing down success rate on defense, which is crazy to me when I saw it. But they just can't get great coverage. They are middle of the road in pass rush win rate per ESPN. Even with Jadeveon Clowney, they are not generating the amount of pressure that you need them to generate. This defense is a little bit underwhelming right now. And obviously the Pittsburgh offense, I think, has really settled into a pocket with their playmakers. Chase Claypool, you know, Juju's not really been focused, but James Washington providing some deep threat ability. They're hopefully going to get Deontay Johnson back for this game as well. And so I do want to take the Pittsburgh here, the Steelers here at +1. That's where I think I'm going to lean. It is a line that's crossed you know, the Steelers opened as favorite and are now dogs. Mm-hmm. That is something that is extremely scary. You don't want to be on the team that got the line crossed against their favor. Usually that means Vegas knows something that you do not. But I think we've got it here with Pittsburgh. I think that they're going to be able to make this an emphatic win. Mike Tomlin in big games is worthy of my trust. So Steelers plus one.
I could make a case for either team. This is such a good matchup. This is going to be so much fun. I think that Ryan Tannehill and that passing attack has just proven over and over, time and time again, over the last really probably year, I guess I would say, because we're talking about the second half of 2019 into the postseason, then obviously the start of this season as well, that he's not a fluke. Like, this is the Ryan Tannehill that we can get used to. This isn't some run that he has had where I say all this and watch him have a terrible game, but like I don't think that right. This is a run where it's just like, all right, we're waiting for the real Ryan Tannehill to show up. Like, I really do think that high level Ryan Tannehill is the new Ryan Tannehill. Now, does that mean he's going to be like a top five elite quarterback like he is some weeks? No, I'm not saying that, but this is not somebody who I think is just waiting to get exposed. And if he has a bad game against the Steelers, guess what? Everybody's had a bad game against the Steelers. They're playing phenomenal. And so, man, I'll go Pittsburgh in this one. I'm with you. I'll go with the more experienced head coach. I think Pittsburgh is on a roll. I just made a case for them to be the potential best team in the AFC on Monday after their big win this weekend. And so I'll stick with that. I'll stay on that train for this week. I'll take the Steelers with you, getting the point, although I'm just really looking forward to this one. This is going to be a titanic matchup. I'm going to love this. I'm going to love watching this. Next up, Seahawks, Cardinals. Huge game for the NFC West. Seahawks favored by 3.5. It's in Arizona, though. So it's in Arizona. Seahawks are still favored, so they're on the road, but they're favored by 3.5. Cardinals getting 3.5 at home. What do we think, Ben?
Cardinals found their running game this past week with Kenyon Drake, and that was a really big deal. They had not been able to get Drake going. Chase Edmonds had been their best runner. Their offensive line was struggling in the running game. Dallas presented a really good get-right opportunity. You hit the Seattle defensive line, and that's just such a shift. And so when you look at Seahawks-Cardinals in terms of how this Cardinals offense is going to move the football down the field, is this running game legit for them? Is the resurgence there? I just don't. It's very difficult for me to buy into that. It's very difficult for me to get fully sold on that. So you're going to need to be able to pass the football. I got good news for you. Shaquille Griffin giving up a really high CPOE. Quentin Dunbar, pretty average, but you can avoid him because they play side to side. You can put DeAndre Hopkins wherever you dang well please. They're also thin throughout the secondary, right? You're still dealing with the Jamal Adams injury, which is massive for Seattle in terms of who they get on the field. Quentin Dunbar didn't participate in the Wednesday practice. If they lose him, oh, man, Arizona's really going to be able to push the ball down the field. So 3.5 is tempting. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm. Mm. I felt like there was a butt coming right there. I felt like there was a butt.
Yeah, there was, and then I faded.
Mm.
Cardinals, I'm too poisoned right now by having just seen the Cardinals handle the Cowboys, who are an objectively bad football team. Seahawks minus 3.5.
Did you almost say poetic instead of, what did you say, poisoned?
Poisoned, yeah.
Okay, so I felt like you almost said poetic instead of poison. Those are just very different words. I just was caught off guard there because I felt like you were about to say poetic, but then you said poison. Again, two very different things.
Poison.
One of them, you know,
you're die.
Famous and eloquent in your art, and the other one, you're dead.
big dead.
I'm going to go with Seahawks as well. I was going to see if I was almost going to interrupt you there and say, well, I'm taking the Seahawks, so I don't know if that changes your opinion one way or the other, but it's kind of the same mold that I was talking about with the Jets, except the very exact opposite with the Seahawks. I have a hard time thinking that Russell Wilson's not going to just continue to rack up wins. Now, got to shout out Kevin Clark's tweet, Kevin Clark of The Ringer, where he says the Seahawks have literally never played in a normal game ever, and I would agree with that. So anytime we get north of a field goal favorite, it just gets squirrely in terms of the bets. Right. So, but 3.5, so close enough for me to say I'll confidently take Russell Wilson to win this one emphatically by 4 points. That's what I think is going to happen. Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm on so many small favorites right now, and I hate it. That goes against how I like to bet. This is ugly. All right. No more small favorites.
Yeah, but have you been winning money this year or losing money?
Winning.
Oh, okay.
Then, how dare you?
Then, yeah, you're doing bad.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs, they're traveling to the Denver Broncos. Broncos coming off a win against the New England Patriots. Big win. Chiefs coming off a win versus, who did they play last week? I'm blanking now.
The Bills.
The Bills. Yes, of course.
It's at 5 p.m., baby.
Of course. You're right. The Chiefs on the road, 9.5-point favorite against the Denver Broncos. The disrespect.
We have a rule on this podcast about Drew Locke getting points.
I don't think we do, actually. I do not think we do. I just checked the rules board, and Drew Locke's name is nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Broncos here. Okay. Noah Fant practiced on Wednesday. Tim Patrick's looking really good. Drew Locke is one of the league leaders in intended air yards per attempt right now, which is a good policy in terms of how to beat those Chiefs. What did the Raiders tell us? Derek Carr pushed football down the field. We could score 40 points on this team. They also were able to run the football successfully. That's where Denver's potentially going to be weak, and so it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do if they're able to get Melvin Gordon back for this game, to what degree that helps them. Dalton Reisner is also questionable to play in Sunday's game, which Fangio said explicitly he is questionable, so I know that for a fact that as of right now he is questionable. That lack of a running game could get concerning. You're putting a lot on a second-year quarterback who's in, like, his, what, 10th career start, Drew Locke is. But we know these divisional games get tough. We also know that Mile High can be a pretty big home field advantage, especially early in the season when conditioning is still catching up. So I like the Broncos to cover 9.5.
I'm with you here, too. I'm taking the Broncos. I think that's a lot of points, and I agree. I think the formula of what I saw last week when, okay, it didn't click as much as you wanted to see it, you know, Locke's completion percentage wasn't as good as you would like it to be. There were plenty of times, even in the red zone, where he just wasn't able to connect with, I mentioned on Wednesday, tight end Albert Okwuegbunam, but also a couple of other guys. He just wasn't quite there yet, but I think the formula is there. They're going to continue to push the ball down the field, and I think that they're going to be fearless against the Chiefs. You know, if they come into it and they go, ooh, we're playing Patrick Mahomes, like, oh, I better not mess up, then of course, you know, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball mentally, and you're not going to be able to keep up with them. But I don't think Drew Locke's like that. I've never seen him like that. I don't think that he goes into a matchup and thinks, oh, yeah, the guy on the other side is better than me at throwing the football. I feel like Drew Locke is the guy who instead believes that he's the best guy on the field no matter what. And when you come into that mentality, I guess it might be a little reckless, but you've also got to have that when you're getting into a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs. I do think the Broncos hold up that formula just like the Raiders did. And so I will take the 9.5 points as well. 9.5 is a lot for me, especially for a team that I think it really aired out. 49ers. I got it. Yeah, a little bit back on track this week with a win. They went over the Rams. New England. New England started off this game favored by 5.5. Now they're only favored by 1.5. That's a big 4 points. Is a big little swing here, but Patriots still favored. They're at home. What do we think here, Ben?
This is a trap. Niners coming off a huge win against the Rams. Patriots coming off a disgusting loss against the Broncos. Line moves 4 points? This is a trap. They want me to bet Patriots.
They do. They do.
I'm being... I said no more small favorites.
They want you to bet the Patriots.
Raheem Mostert, high ankle sprain.
I think Raheem Mostert, last time I looked, has the 2 fastest plays recorded via Next Gen Stats.
Yeah, he was a 60-yard meter dash at Purdue, and I know the dash champion at Purdue, and I know this because when he was on the Eagles, he was really good in the preseason. I was like, we should keep this guy. He's a 60-meter dash champion at Purdue. And then 5 years later, he's good for the 49ers. Trevor.
Yeah, 23 miles an hour and then 22.73 are the fastest that anyone has been clocked this season. That's unbelievable. That is
Trent Williams is probably out for this game, Trevor.
Ben, I don't care. I've already made up my mind that I'm taking the Patriots. I don't care.
They want me to take the Patriots. This is a trap. They have no receivers. None. Name a Patriots receiver. You can't. Julian Edelman's not real. N'Keal Harry, N'Keal Demir Harry. Bird. I know, okay? You're taking the Patriots?
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right, Patriots. I'll take Patriots -1.5.
I'm wow, you idiot.
I'm a coward.
You
I'm
idiot.
A coward.
I hate the pick. I That's hate the stupid. Pick so much. That's stupid.
It's a trap.
You idiot.
I hate this so much.
Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers, a one-win team, Ben, favored by 7.5. So that eclipses the Eagles being favored.
Yeah, there you go.
By 6.5 to start and then 4.5 right now. The Chargers started off being favored by 7.5, and they are still favored by 7.5. So this has got to, that's got to be. I might tweet about this later. Look out for the tweet, at Tampa Bay Trey. Follow your boy.
Put on notification.
Right, slam that notification button. 7.5 points here for the Los Angeles Chargers, a one-win team over the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do we think?
I mean, obviously this game is horrible. Nobody should look at it or touch it. These are two extremely weird teams. The Chargers by 7.5, that's just begging for the Chargers to be up by 8 and then give up like a Hail Mary two-point conversion sort of nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, how can you trust the Chargers at 7.5? But at the same time, I mean, the Jaguars are coming 5 straight losses. In 3 of the last 4 losses, they failed to score more than 16 points. In each of the last 5 games, they've given up at least 30 points on defense. Lions, Dolphins, Bengals, Texans.
Bears, oh my.
True. Or like their last 4 games, they've given up 31, 33, 30, and 34 to the Dolphins, Bengals, Texans, and Lions. I would argue the Chargers are probably the second best offense if you put them in that group. So the Chargers, in my head, are scoring 30. Jaguars put up 23. Oh, I'm taking the Chargers -7.5. It's
Man.
Not going to go well. It's not going to go well, but I'm going to do it.
No, I'm taking my Jags. I'm taking our Jags.
Our Jags.
I'm taking our Jags with 7.5. Now, I said this last week when, actually, it wasn't last week. It was Monday, which feels like a week ago in 2020 parameters. Last week, the way the Jaguars lost to the Detroit Lions was pretty telling of who they are this season. If they were going to be a team that was this surprise, oh, they might be something every single week, they wouldn't have gotten as embarrassed as they did against the Detroit Lions, who are not a good football team. And here I am, not 2 days later, when we're recording this podcast, taking the Jacksonville Jaguars in 7.5 points. You know why? Because I'm an addict, and I cannot quit whatever drug this Jacksonville Jaguars team is. I look at this offense, and I just go, yeah, they can keep up. They can keep up with a bad team. Chargers are a bad team. They can keep up with them. Why not? I can't wait to get absolutely... You better roast me on Monday if the Chargers win by, like, 24.
I will gladly.
You better remember this, and I will tip my hat to you and then crawl back into my hole where I belong. Sunday night football game. Your NFC South leading Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the head coach, the very head coach that won them their only Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
In the Las Vegas Raiders. And
forgot
John
about
Green.
That.
Yeah. People don't forget. Buccaneers on the road. They're traveling to Vegas. They were initially favored by 2. Now they are favored by 4, whopping 4 points. Ben, what do we think about this primetime matchup?
Yeah, it crossed a pretty important line there at 3. And it was funny because I was looking at it and I like Buccaneers -2 and I was going to take it. And then I was like, okay, I won't take it. And then it moved to 4. And it's like, well, I definitely can't take it now. Tampa Bay comes off that big Green Bay win. That defense has so much juice right now. They're going to go against a much more simple passing attack, if we're going to be honest, in what you're going to get from Derek Carr. And I know Derek Carr's most recent performance was against Kansas City Chiefs, and he looked great, and that's all swell, and I'm very proud of him, and that's awesome. But let's be honest, Derek Carr is probably still Derek Carr, right? Like, we can't just, all right, Derek Carr passes deep now. I don't think it's that neat. I'd like to see it for a couple weeks in order to believe it. If you try to nickel and dime this defense, they're going to get a sack on you, they're going to get a TFL on you, and then all of a sudden, your drives are going to peter out. Is Steve McClendon going to be ready, you think, for this game or no?
I would I mean, I would guess no, but also it's Wednesday and I'm not in the facility like I have been the last couple of years, so I really don't know.
Are you saying it's Wednesday, my dudes?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, Wednesday, my dudes.
I get to know. So the reason I ask is because you should be a little bit concerned about the running game. The Raiders have really been able to move the rock on the ground so far. That could shorten this game and make it a little bit tougher for Tampa Bay to build a big enough lead. But in man cover, Tampa Bay now, you know, with Chris Godwin healthy, with Mike Evans healthy, obviously they're both still, you know, limited in practice, but they're playing now. This passing game is looking week to week more like what we expected to. Nick Kwiatkowski, I believe, is still out for the Raiders, which means Rob Gronkowski's got a nice looking matchup. I like the Buccaneers to cover.
You didn't mention the O-line. Favorite. You didn't mention the O-line at all, which today it came out that Trent Williams is, I think, about, or no, Trent Brown is about to get put on the
COVID list. Oh, yes, I did miss this, yeah.
And they sent home all five of their offensive linemen as well, just to be safe. And so that's a giant unknown, and I wonder if that's the reason for the swing. And that makes this one really tough, because in a normal world, I would tell you that the Raiders are going to keep this one close. Like, John Gruden, if I know anything about the man, he keeps receipts. He remembers. And this is a team that fired him. John Gruden wants nothing more than to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, he is going to be sleepless all week, game planning exactly what he needs to find whatever weakness he can to get the most out of his team, to beat his old team, because that's how John Gruden works. That's how he is built. That's how his mind ticks. But if your whole offensive line just got sent home because of COVID and they can't practice, and Trent Brown's not going to be in there for sure, all of a sudden this gets, like, super up in the air, and they're like, I don't really know how to bet it. So I'm still going to bet the Raiders. Like, I'll still pick the Raiders to keep it within 4 points because of what I said. But I don't really feel confident about it, and I wouldn't really be betting this game at all until we know a lot more about that O-line situation. Because I think you're right there. That's such an important part of what the Raiders do, that if they don't have their entire offensive line, even if just Trent Brown is down, that's a little bit of a different story here against what Todd Bowles might be throwing at him. So I'm going to take the Raiders. Are you taking the Buccaneers? Did you say you were taking the Bucs?
I'm on the Bucs.
Okay, you're taking the Bucs to clear the 4. I'll take the Raiders to keep it within 4. So we're disagreeing there a little bit, but it's, again, a game that if you are betting out there, I'd stay away from it until we know a lot more about the O-line. Chicago Bears. This is a Monday Night Football game. This is the last one of the week. Chicago Bears traveling to L.A. to face off against the L.A. Rams. Rams were initially favored by 7. Now they are favored by 6.
I don't like this one. I don't like anything that involves the Chicago Bears for the rest of all time, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right. It feels like a Rams bounce back spot, right? Obviously, we've had the Rams now in 2 games in which they have not played in the NFC East, and it was a loss to Buffalo, and it was a loss to the Niners. Buffalo's legit. Niners divisional game. Niners obviously looking to get back on track. They're a weird team, but that was a big time performance from them, as we expected. Now you get the Bears, who are just the most, like, are they real? What is this? Do we exist? Like, how is this a thing? If the Rams want to keep pace in an NFC West that right now has the 3-3 Niners, the 4-2 Cardinals, and the 5-0 Seattle Seahawks, especially with Seattle and Arizona playing this week and potentially Seattle dropping their first of the season, they have to be able to beat a team like the Bears, right?
Yeah.
By 6.5?
That's the thing, yeah, 6.5.
Oh, man. What the Niners were able to do against the Rams, what the even the Bills were able to do against the Rams, was to get really quick horizontal stretches, right? I did well to get Chicago against Carolina last week. I got that cover. I will continue riding the hot hand with the Bears, +6.5.
I'm going to go 6.5 here, too. I think the Rams win the game.
Okay, good.
But I think the Rams, or sorry, I think the Bears defense keeps it close enough to where they're covering 6. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bears here. So we're agreeing on the very last game. That's all of them for this week. Last episode of the podcast that we have to do this week is everybody's favorite. It is Fan Friday. A couple of you have already sent in your Fan Friday questions early. By the way, you can always do that, hitting me or Ben up on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, at Benjamin Sol. You can hit me up on Instagram at MT_Treverist. Or if you're in the premium Slack, you can, of course, always hit us up there. We are in the, I think the place that I see the most Fan Friday questions is in the Locked On or LOND Fan Friday channel, if you are in there. So get on that one. And that's where I read a lot of the Fan Friday questions from the premium Slack. But y'all brought it last week. That was one of my favorite episodes. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. But, you know, got no doubts that you guys are going to increase the craziness, increase the fun that we have on Fridays for tomorrow's episode as well. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.